مدینہ 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 تو کربلا، مدینہ 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 تو کربلا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is reported to have said, "The one who recites durood, salutations, salawat and salam 50 times upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment." Subhanallah, subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salamun alayki ya sayyidi, ya habibi, ya rasulallah. Marhaba, khushamdeed, welcome to one and all to another beautiful and exciting episode of this brand new series which Madani Channel English has brought to you, Madina to Karbala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, this series has started since the beginning of this new Islamic year, and it is a very auspicious month, the month of Muharramul Haram, the month which has nisbat to the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month in which many auspicious events took place besides the event of Karbala. Yes, believe me you, there are many, many auspicious events which took place on the day of Ashura and in this month of Muharramul Haram, subhanallah, subhanallah. On the first of Muharram, we also celebrated around the globe the Yawme Shahadat of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, subhanallah, subhanallah. Make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the haqiqi and true love of the Ahl Bayt of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ikram. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, for those that were watching us for these past few days, we all know that we were discussing some very beautiful topics. In the beginning we discussed regarding Shahada, and then that the Anbiya alayhimu salam are alive in their graves, subhanallah, subhanallah. And likewise we discussed the Siddiqeen, and to begin that we started with Siddiq Akbar, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and then the great personality Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, subhanallah. And with the sequence today, it brings us to another great personality in the history of Islam, subhanallah, subhanallah. That personality whose titles, whose unique qualities are so many that Allah, I feel that today's episode will be very short to discuss this personality in detail, subhanallah. Yes, I'm referring to none other than the blessed son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, and this is Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanallah, subhanallah. A very, very great personality. Alhamdulillah, once again we are very fortunate enough of being blessed with our respected guest of honor, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib. Let us first greet Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Sahib? How is your
health? Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Jazakallah. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib has been blessing us for these beautiful episodes, and inshallah throughout these beautiful episodes Mufti Sahib will be blessing us with these beautiful words of wisdom. And we all witnessed in the previous episodes how Mufti Sahib has beautifully explained some very technical issues, and some very beautiful discussions were done by Qibla Mufti Sahib. And indeed today also, with this exciting personality, the exciting words of wisdom, we will inshallah learn from Qibla Mufti Sahib, subhanallah. So my advice to you is sit back, relax and enjoy. Put your mind, make your mind tension free, and listen to today's episode with your heart, and inshallah azza wa jal, you will learn many things from this beautiful silsila. You will inshallah gain lots of lessons from this beautiful personality, subhanallah. Before we begin today's episode, let's make some good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his actions. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will get from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make the intention that inshallah I will sit from beginning to end. I will listen attentively. When I hear the name of Allah, I will say Azza wa Jal or Ta'ala. When I hear the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will recite durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever I listen to anything, I will try and act upon it inshallah. I make the intention of acting upon it. I will pass the knowledge to others as well. These are all good intentions which you can make. Make as many good intentions as you can inshallah. The more intentions you make, the more reward you will get from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufti Sahab, beginning today's exciting episode and this great personality whom I just mentioned, alhamdulillah, we see that many ulama-i kiram, and during the khutbahs as well, in the books we have also read that one of the titles of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Zunnurain. If Mufti Sahab can just explain this, describe what is the meaning of Zunnurain, how he got this title, is there any reason behind it, and why is it specific only to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, subhanAllah.
Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that uniquely blessed person.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Who had two daughters of a Nabi.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
In his nikah, one after the other.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
And not just any Nabi.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
But Imam al-Anbiya.
Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, ji.
His two daughters came in the nikah of Hazrat Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
When the first one departed from this world, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave other daughter into his nikah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
It is reported in Tarikhul Khulafa that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
And he was saying regarding Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said shows the greatness of Hazrat Uthman Ghani
subhanallah.
He said, if I had 40 daughters,
Allah, 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 Allah.
And I would have given them in the nikah of Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, after the other.
Allah, Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
In this way, if the first one passed away, the next
the second one,
that one passed away, then the next one.
Allah, 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 Allah.
So, this, although this was an example that was given, at the same time it shows the love and trust
right subhanallah, subhanallah.
Which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu
ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
It is mentioned in Baqi Sharif, Hazrat Abdullah Ju'fi radiallahu ta'ala says that my uncle Hussein Ju'fi radiallahu ta'ala asked me that, do you know why Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is called Zunnurain? That's your direct question.
Subhanallah.
And he said, no, I don't know.
Right.
He replied that he's called Zunnurain because from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam till the last prophet of Allah, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah
subhanallah, subhanallah.
There is no Nabi whose two daughters came into the nikah
of one person.
Of one person.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Except
subhanallah,
Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu
ta'ala, subhanallah,
in whose nikah two daughters of Imam al-Anbiya
Allah, 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 Allah,
came. And because of that, he's called Zunnurain.
Right.
Which means possessor of two lights.
Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Sayyidina Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Fadhil Bareilvi, Nabar Allah Barakatahu, he says, Noor ki sarkar se paya doshala noor ka. Ho Mubarak,
subhanallah.
Tum ko zunzunur hai, joda noor ka.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
See, the first daughter was Hazrat Ruqayya.
Okay.
Radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Ji.
And she came into the nikah of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And at the time of Ghazwa Badr, she was very ill.
Okay.
And Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu could not participate in the battle of Badr because he was looking after her. And he was appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to look after her.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam included him in the battlefield. Mean his status
Allah
was that he is a participant.
Okay, okay. Subhanallah.
Of the battle
of Badr.
And he is counted from amongst the Badri Sahabis.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
And he was given Mali Ghanimat as well.
Okay, subhanallah, subhanallah. So
he did not stay away from Badr
right.
because of some other reasons. He was still under the hukm
right.
of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
And he was looking after the beloved daughter of the
Allah,
beloved
subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So therefore he is not deprived
right.
of being
a Badri Sahabi.
A Badri Sahabi
right.
And he received Mali Ghanimat as well.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And when Hazrat Zaid bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala reached Madinatul Munawwara with the news that Alhamdulillah Muslims had victory in Allah, Badr.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
At that time, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala was busy with the dafan or burying the blessed body of Hazrat Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his other daughter, Hazrat Kalthum,
subhanallah, subhanallah,
radiallahu ta'ala anha, into the nikah of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
And she also departed from this world in the 9th Hijri.
Allahu Akbar.
So this way, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu became Zunnuran.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So he possessed two noors.
Ji, subhanallah.
The children of Noor are also Noor.
Subhanallah.
As Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala explained, Teri nasle paak mein hai, bacha bacha Noor ka.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Tu hai aine Noor tera sab jana
Noor ka. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
Only one son was born
okay.
from Hazrat Bibi Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Right.
This was the son of
Hazrat Usman
Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But after the demise of his mother, 6 years later,
okay.
he passed away and there were no children from Hazrat Bibi Kalthum.
What a beautiful personality, Zunnurain, the possessor of two noors, two lights. And indeed, those two noors are the beloved and blessed daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And how beautiful is this entire incident and these beautiful narrations which Muqtasab has mentioned, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example that if you know, I had 40 daughters, then I would give them all in the nikah of Hazrat Usman Ghani, one after the other. And this shows, this is enough to prove the rank and the status of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why? Because when a person looks for a son-in-law, or he looks for someone who he can give his daughter to. So he's not going to give his daughter to someone who has a bad name in the society. He's not going to give his daughter to someone who is not respected amongst the people. He's not going to give his daughter to someone who maybe doesn't have a great image amongst the people, a good reputation, or whatever the case is. Likewise, he won't give his daughter to someone who has bad habits, someone who has evil actions, someone who people criticize. All of these things, a person looks carefully. Then he says, okay, let me choose this person. This person has this quality, this quality, this quality. And then he chooses that, let me give, you know, my daughter in this person's nikah. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that if I had 40 daughters, I would give them all, one after the other, in the nikah of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This shows how much trust Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had on Sayyidina Usman Ghani, and how much, what good attributes he possessed, because of which he became deserving of earning these great opportunities from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah, Allah, Allah. What a unique and beautiful personality. And one more thing we come to learn from the explanation which Mufti Sahib gave, that his blessed wife and the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, was not well at the time of the Battle of Badr. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him a hukum, an order, that, you know, stay and look after your wife, take care of her. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is also a teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he has given us, that a husband should also take care of the wife. It shouldn't be such that husband should think that, you know, when I'm sick or when I'm ill, the wife should take care of me, she should prepare medication, give me this, give me that. And when she is sick, she must take care of herself. I mean, I'm the husband, why should I worry? No. Look how beautiful Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam set an example until Qiyamah, that if you are ill, yes, she must look after you, take care of you. And if she is ill, it's also your duty, your responsibility to also look after her. Subhanallah. This is the religion of Islam, the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us that everyone has rights. Husband has rights, wife has rights, neighbor has rights, your parents have rights, your children have rights, everyone have rights, and it is your duty as a Muslim to treat everyone according to their rights. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of this beautiful deen of Islam and the true understanding of the beautiful words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Mufti Sahib. We also learned about Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that his physical attributes, his physical appearance was very charming, very handsome. Can Mufti Sahib shed some light on this topic as well?
It is reported in the books of history and in his biographies that he radiallahu ta'ala anhu had fair skin,
Allah, Allah,
with the touch of redness.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So very attractive,
right.
Skin color. He was big bone, which suits the men
very
well.
Subhanallah.
Wide shoulders.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And big manly hands.
Allah, subhanallah.
Which is also a beautiful
quality for me.
Feature of, you know,
men. Ji, subhanallah.
His beard was thick.
Allah.
And he had curly hair.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And his teeth were very beautiful.
Subhanallah.
So when he smiled,
right,
he would look very beautiful.
Allah, Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
And on his beard, he used to put mehndi. Ibn Asakir,
right,
reports from Abdullah bin Hazm Mazani.
Right. Ji.
He said regarding Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, فَمَا رَعَيْتُ قَتُّ ذَكَرٌ وَلَا أُنْثَى أَحْسَنَ وَجْهَمْ
مِنْهُ. Allah, Allah, Allah. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
That I've never seen anyone from men and from women more beautiful,
subhanallah, subhanallah,
than Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala.
Allah.
And Ibn Adi
ji
reports from Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made nikah of his daughter, Ummi Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha, with Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, to his daughter, that Usmani Ghani has great similarity in appearance, in looks, with your grandfather,
Allah, Allah, Allah,
Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam,
Subhanallah,
and with your father Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
I mean, the families do link up
right.
at some point.
Ji.
So that blood of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam or Ismaili blood that was there.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
And of course, the relationship in family with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also there.
Ji.
So he picked up those features.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was very handsome,
Allah,
very beautiful,
mashallah,
in appearance, in looks,
Subhanallah,
as well as his character was very beautiful.
Ji, 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 ji.
You know, his appearance was also very beautiful.
Subhanallah, mashallah, mashallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. A radiant face, I would say, a beautiful personality. And as Murtaza mentioned, as his personality was beautiful, his apparent features were also very, very beautiful. Subhanallah. I mean, indeed, that personality, who has some similarity to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khalilullah, Allah Allah, and then he has some resemblance with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely this person will have that beauty which is extraordinary, that beauty which is unique. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And what beautiful descriptions Mufti Sahib gave, that his beard was thick, which you also come to learn that this beard is such a sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Sahaba ikram would all practice it. And remember, it is wajib to keep a fistful of beard. And if anyone trims his beard less than a fistful, or he completely shaves his beard, or keeps it less than a fistful, in all of these cases, yeah, he is doing a haram act, and it is a sin upon that person. All those Ashikani Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who do not have beards on their blessed faces, make good intentions now that inshallah azza wa jal, we will follow, whilst listening about these beautiful Sahaba ikram, we'll also follow in their footsteps and make an intention inshallah azza wa jal, we will keep a fistful beard according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And we will neither trim it less than a fistful, nor will we shave our beard. Whatever the case is, inshallah azza wa jal, we will keep a fistful beard. Subhanallah. The reason why we discuss these blessed personalities, why we speak about their lifestyle, we discuss their incidents, is so that we may take some lesson from their life. I mean, there's no use if we discuss these personalities and someone just says, Subhanallah, Mashallah, what beautiful personalities these are, what beautiful incidents we listen to, but you don't take any lesson from it, then there is no purpose. Whatever you read, whatever you listen to, there should be a lesson behind it. Likewise, the Holy Quran is filled with examples, with lessons. And when you read the Holy Quran, you need to take some lessons from it. If you read the Holy Quran without taking any lessons, then tell me, what benefit have you done to yourself? If you read the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam without taking lessons from it, what benefit have you done to yourself? Likewise, these blessed personalities, you study them, you listen to them, you say Subhanallah when you listen to their qualities, but you don't adopt their qualities, you don't take lessons from their life, then tell me, what benefit have you done to yourself by listening to these great personalities? So my advice to you, I would say, is these beautiful qualities of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, all of his qualities are unique, but this beautiful quality of keeping a beard, it's a sunnat of the Anbiya alayhim salam, sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, sunnat of Sahaba ikram. Make an intention that inshallah azza wa jal, we will all keep a fistful beard inshallah, inshallah. Make good intentions, and the more intentions you make, the more reward you will get from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now when we look at the life of this great Sahabi, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu subhanahu, then there is also a link between him and the Holy Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where I would come to our guest of honor, subhanallah. Mufti sahab, can you explain the link between Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani and the Holy Quran? Maybe due to the attributes, due to his qualities, or whatever link there is between the Holy Quran and him, subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah, there are ayat in the Quran which are revealed to praise Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
At the time of the war of Tabuk, there was a situation of drought.
Allah.
And believers were facing great hardship. They were forced to eat the leaves of the trees because of drought. Therefore, the lashkar, the army of that war is called Jaish-e-Usra.
Right.
It means that the army that faced hardness or hardship or poverty or difficulty or less, you know, basic foods and etc.
Allahu
Akbar. It's mentioned in Tirmizi Sharif, Hazrat Abdullah bin Khubab radiallahu ta'ala reports, he says that I was present in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu
subhanallah, subhanallah.
When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motivated Sahaba Ikram to give donations towards Jaish-e-Usra.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu got motivated. And he said, Ya Rasulullah,
Subhanallah.
I will give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal 100 camels,
Subhanallah, Subhanallah,
loaded with goods.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam motivated Sahaba Ikram again second time.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will give 200 camels
Allah, Allah, Allah,
loaded with goods.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
For this purpose. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam motivated third time. Again, Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will present 300 camels
Allah, Allah, Allah,
loaded with goods.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
The Rawi reports that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming down from the minbar and he was saying, no action or no amal will harm Uthman after this.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
It means that this amal-e khair, this good deed which he has performed has reached such level of qubuliyat and acceptance. So if after this he does not perform too many nawafil, too many nafli ibadah, still this action is Allah enough for his great station.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
So after the qubuliyat of this action, the acceptance of this action,
Subhanallah.
There is no fear of any harm to him.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him such hifazat and protection.
Subhanallah.
And also according to other narration, it is said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him, ma darra Uthmana ma amila ba'd al yawmi marratayn. Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said twice that nothing will harm Uthman after this action.
Subhanallah.
So ulama ikram have said that It means even if some shortcoming or mistake happens from Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu after this, after this action or after today, that will become expiation
Subhanallah.
Of his shortcoming.
Allah.
That will become kafara.
Right.
So such a guarantee of hifazat and protection
Subhanallah.
Was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in Tafsir Khazin and Tafsir Mu'alim al-Tanzeel
Subhanallah.
That Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu both gave bigger donations. So these ayat were revealed regarding them.
Subhanallah.
الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنًّا وَلَا أَذَى لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ
Subhanallah.
These people that they spend their wealth in the path of Allah. And after giving, they do not express favor,
Allah,
nor they cause any harm.
Subhanallah.
Their ajr, their thawab, their reward is with their Lord.
Subhanallah.
There's no fear upon them, and nor will they grieve.
Allah. Subhanallah.
Sadr al-Afadil. Hazrat Mufti Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala writes in Tafsir Khazainul Irfan that this ayat was revealed regarding Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah. These blessed personalities that the Holy Quran was revealed in their favor, subhanAllah, and their praises, I would say, is mentioned in the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How unique and blessed are these blessed personalities, subhanAllah. And likewise, Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as Muqtasab mentioned, 100, 200, 300 camels fully loaded with goods. You must know a camel was known as the ship of the desert. So in today's time, we could say maybe the most expensive car that will be equivalent to the camel in those times. And at that time, a person giving 100 camels, 200 camels, I mean, what a big heart that person needs to have. If today someone stands up and says, 100 cars from my side, 200 cars, 300 cars from my side, and not only the cars, you know, in the cars I'll put some groceries and bread or whatever you need, and he gives it to someone, you will say, look at the heart of this person, he's giving so much. And look at Sayyidina Usmani Ghani, 100, 200, 300 camels, and not just the camels, loaded with goods, fully loaded with goods in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And until Qiyamah, he set an example for people that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed you with wealth, with abundance of wealth, then it doesn't mean that that wealth is just to hoard for yourself, for you, for your children, and keep it until you go in the grave and you die and leave the wealth behind. No. If Allah Ta'ala granted you that wealth, it's a bounty, a blessing from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then you as a Muslim, your duty is to utilize that wealth and spend it in the path of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Spend it for the causes of Islam, the causes of Deen, Subhanallah. This is a message which Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is giving to every person out there until Qiyamah. That according to your capability, no one should think that I'm not wealthy, I'm not rich, I don't need to give, why shouldn't give? No, according to your capability, according to your capacity, you should spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And yeah, I would like to invite one and all. The Dawat-e-Islami is alhamdulillah doing tremendous work around the globe. Whether it's regarding jamiat, regarding madaris, regarding masajid, regarding welfare work, whatever it is, Dawat Islami is doing wonderful work around the globe. And alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is not something which is hidden. We all see Dawat Islami, we observe Dawat Islami, and we have seen the work which Dawat Islami has done in the past, is doing, and the future plans which Dawat Islami has, subhanAllah. So one of the best investments in today's time is invest your money in Dawat Islami, support Dawat Islami, donate towards Dawat Islami, and I assure you, inshallah, Azzawajal, your donations will not go to waste. Your donations will be used for the proper and correct causes, subhanAllah. So what are you waiting for? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you the wealth, then act upon this sunnah of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and donate generously in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Donate towards your Dawat Islami, subhanAllah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mutisab, with regards to the qualities of Sayyidina Usman Ghani, there are so many qualities. But in the various lectures of Ulama-i Kiram, we also see that he is also given this title of, I can say, Kamilul Haya, a person who had lots of haya, lots of modesty. In the light of hadith or in the light of narrations, can Mutisab just explain this beautiful quality of the Sahabi?
Yes, it's mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah, Hazrat Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. She reports that one day our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down in his house on the bed, and his shin mubarak,
subhanAllah,
was open slightly.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and he asked permission to come in.
Ji.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission, called him that you can come in. And while talking, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu came.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in the same position.
Right.
Part of his shin mubarak was open, still open.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
So he allowed Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to come in. And they were busy talking. And then Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu came.
Allah, Allah.
And he asked permission to come in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got up from his lying down position.
Right, right, right.
And he put his clothes way that, you know, shin mubarak
is covered.
Is now covered.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
And then he gave permission to Hazrat Usman Ghani to come in. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that when everyone went away,
ji,
I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
subhanallah,
when my beloved father came, your shin mubarak was open slightly.
Right, right, right.
But you stayed in the same way, same position.
Ji, subhanallah, subhanallah.
When Hazrat Umar came, you stayed in the same way, same position. But when Hazrat Usman came,
Allah, Allah, Allah,
you got up, you sat down, you put your clothes
right.
So why is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, ala astahyi min rajulin tastahyi minhul malaika.
Allah, 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 subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
Should I not feel shy from the person from whom the angels
Allah, Allah, Allah,
feel shy?
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
So this shows the greatness in haya, in
Subhanallah.
Modesty,
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah,
that was in the nature of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. Kamilul haya, a person who has utmost modesty and complete haya, subhanAllah. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that even the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhanallah, they have this haya from Sayyidina Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Subhanallah. From here we also come to learn how excellent this quality is. That haya is not only something which we think it's only for the women folk or the females. No, even men should have haya. And it is necessary. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have mentioned in various ahadith, the summary of the ahadith, that al-hayaa shu'batun min al-iman. Haya is a branch, a part of the iman. Subhanallah. So it means that it is extremely important. If you are a believer, a mu'min, you have iman, then you should have haya as well. Unfortunately, in today's time, we see people in the name of different sports, in the name of different activities, I mean, people will be roaming around, moving around, where their body is half naked, their sitr is exposed. And, you know, if you try to, and tell them that, listen, you cover your body, these body parts are not supposed to be exposed. And then, no, you know, it's the tradition, it's the fashion. Unfortunately, this is how ignorant people have become, that they readily accept following fashion and following the new traditions whilst leaving the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As believers, our first priority should always be Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment we move away from this, we are going to start destroying ourselves, destroying our surroundings, and destroying many other people around us as well. So it is something very important. Subhanallah, we are taking many beautiful lessons from this personality as we learn about him. We learned about the blessed beard Mubarak, subhanallah. We are now learning about his haya, about this quality. And this quality, we should also try and instill it in our lives and personalities. Whether it's a female, whether it's a male, every person should have haya, should have modesty. Subhanallah. We make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to follow upon and act upon these blessed sunnats of these personalities in Islam. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhanallah, subhanallah. In the books of history, we also learned that Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani had lots of love for the Holy Quran. And it is also narrated that at the time when he departed from this world, when he was made shaheed, at that time also he was reciting the Holy Quran, subhanallah. And he also mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, I love three things. And from those three things, one thing which I love the most is making tilawat of the Holy Quran, reciting this glorious book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani was made shaheed, as we have read in the books of Islam. Was there any incident which occurred which made him aware before that, yes, you know, he is going to be made shaheed? Anything in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Yes, definitely. Hazrat Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala reports that one day Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the Mount Uhud.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Together with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And suddenly, the Uhud mountain started shaking.
Allah, 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 Allah.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Uhud mountain and said, "O Uhud, stop. Oh, stop shaking. That upon you, there is Nabi."
Right, right, subhanallah.
"Or there is Siddiq." "Or there are two martyrs." Allah. "Two shaheeds."
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
So from this hadith mubarakah, we learn that even the mountains take orders Allah. And instructions from Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah.
And also we learn that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted the knowledge of unseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Because the shahadat of Hazrat Umar Farooq and Hazrat Usman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was going to happen
in the future.
In the future.
Right, right. Subhanallah, subhanallah.
But he informed about their shahadat in Allah. The past.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Aur koi ghaib kya tumse niha ho bhala."
Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah.
"Jab na khuda hi chupa تم پہ کروڑوں درود.
سبحان اللہ.
سو ڈیفینیٹلی ہی نیو اباؤٹ ہز شہادت. سو وین دا ٹائم کیم وین ہی واز اٹیکڈ بائی ریبلز he did not resist because he knew this is the time.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
He did not, he was the Khalifa, he was the ruler, he had the army, he had the people that could stand up very firmly and defend him. But he said, I don't want the streets of Madinatul Munawwara, the city of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to get filled up with blood of Muslims. So he was ready. He was ready for his martyrdom. He was ready for his shahada.
Subhanallah.
Because of the news and the Sahaba Ikram's trust in the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was of a different level of certainty that you can't imagine. So there was no way that he could have doubted.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So he knew it, he was waiting for it, he recognized it, that this is the time, and he's lucky to become shaheed.
Many, many beautiful points can be derived from this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the ability of speaking to even those objects which don't speak to normal creations, to normal human beings, subhanallah. And my Nabi doesn't only speak to them, they can also understand the language of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. And then the knowledge of the unseen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the rank that Nabi sallallahu gave the glad tidings that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is Siddiq. And then both of Sayyidina Umar Farooq, Sayyidina Usman Ghani are martyrs and shaheed. That's also a different rank. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Al Hazrat very beautifully says, Ek thokar mein Uhud ka zalzala jata raha. رکھتی ہے کتنا وقار اللہ اکبر ایریا. سبحان اللہ, سبحان اللہ. A very beautiful personality we are discussing, and time is also not allowing us to discuss this personality in complete detail. But inshallah azza wa jal, whatever we can get from this personality, we are trying to get as much as we can. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Many beautiful examples were given, many beautiful lessons we learned. Subhanallah. Mutazab, whilst we are going towards the conclusion of today's episode, one important topic which should be discussed with regards to this personality, many a times whilst you were discussing, Mutazab mentioned Usman Ghani, Usman Ghani, and Ghani means rich, literally. And we all know Sayyidina Usman Ghani was a very wealthy Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite being the third Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, and the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did Sayyidina Usman Ghani benefit Islam with his wealth and with the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him?
Alhamdulillah, there are many occasions we can count and are recorded when his wealth played a big role to help the Muslims, to help the deen of Islam. Although many Sahaba, they did business, they attained riches of this world, they became wealthy. Most wealthy among Sahaba was Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf. But they were always willing to spend in the path of Allah. They regarded themselves as the trustees of that wealth,
subhanallah,
to spend on the deen. Because whatever wealth you have, it belongs to Allah.
Subhanallah.
So if Allah orders you to spend on something, you must spend.
Subhanallah.
If Allah orders you not to spend on something, you must not spend.
You must
keep it and look after it.
Subhanallah.
When the right time comes to spend on the right occasion, then you spend it. So this was their mindset.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
The whole exercise of becoming rich was to strengthen the deen of Islam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Not like today's time, people become rich,
right.
But hardly give to make deen strong. Masjids, madrasas, our jamia, darul ulooms, many other activities. are struggling always.
Right.
Funding is a problem because rich people feel this money is ours. We must use them on our luxuries, on our comforts, on our pleasures, on our holidays, on this and that. Like when they came to Madinatul Munawwara,
Subhanallah,
that incident of Bere Huma,
Ji.
Which belonged to a Jew,
right.
That was the only well which had drinkable
water,
sweet water.
Right.
And he was selling water very, you know, expensive, costly, becoming difficult for the Muslims. So Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala negotiated with him and bought half the well.
Allah.
Half the well means one day the Muslims will use and the other day
he will use.
He will use or sell or do whatever.
Right.
So now the day it was allowed for Muslims to use, they would take a lot of water because today they can do anything.
Right.
And next day nobody comes to buy.
Right.
So he realized I must also sell the other half. You know, have the ownership of
right. Subhanallah.
So he then sold that too. So Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala bought full ownership of the well and gave it for the benefit of the creation of Allah.
Subhanallah.
So this is how even in those days, you know, these things were very costly, and the figures when we count, it's amazing, you know, in dinars and in dirhams, you know, in gold coins and in silver coins. People hardly give those type of big donations anymore. But they would be standing, those rich, rich people would be always standing, you know, with their money, where we can spend to help the to strengthen, and then they would help each other as well. You know, spend money, you know, if Muslim is a slave, and spend money to set him free. And then if they are in difficulties, they would help each other.
Right.
The person is sick, the others who have money, they would help. They would give loan, you know, to make them, you know, stand up on their feet, start businesses, etc.
Subhanallah.
So to develop a strong community, of course, the zakat and all other donations, they were in forefront. This is how a rich man should think,
Allah,
a rich Muslim.
Subhanallah.
That Allah gave me these riches, this wealth, so I can fulfill my duty, and my duty is to strengthen the deen of
Subhanallah.
Islam.
Subhanallah.
Islamic education, welfare of Muslims, masjid, madrasas, production of ulama,
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
All that requires funds, all that requires money.
Right.
So if the wealthy people do not invest their money in these fields, then it's a problem.
Subhanallah. A very, very, very beautiful mindset Tisab has given to every businessman, wealthy person out there, a person who has wealth, that you have been given this wealth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not your wealth. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in a split second, Allah ta'ala can take all that wealth away from you. What are you going to do? Your business can finish, your work can be destroyed. Whatever can happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you, He can take it back from you. So when he gave it to you, then show some shukr, show some gratitude. And how you're going to show the gratitude is by spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending in the causes of Islam, strengthen deen, as Muftisa mentioned. This is what you should do with that wealth of yours. Subhanallah. So a very beautiful mindset Mufti Saab has given us. All our viewers and listeners that are watching us and listening to us, make intentions now inshallah that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me, then I will inshallah spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a madrasa and say inshallah I will sort out maybe the food of this madrasa, the expenses of this madrasa, the salary of the teachers of this madrasa, this jamia, I will take care of this so-and-so expense of this jamia, this masjid, I will take care of the imam, the muazzin salary, their needs of this certain masjid. Take responsibilities upon yourself for the work of deen. You take this responsibility upon yourself. You will see how much barakah you will receive from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your rizq, in your sustenance. And my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taken a qasam that by Allah, sadaqah, this charity which you give, does not decrease your wealth. So don't even ever assume that I am giving 100 rand, 200, 300, whatever it is, rand, pounds, dollars, any currency, then my wealth is decreased. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you double, even many times more than that which you have given in His court. And you will get that reward in this world. Same time, many people have spoken to us and they have mentioned that, you know, we made intention of giving so much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Within few days, we saw that that money was returned to us, and not just that amount, double, triple the amount was returned to us, subhanAllah. So your money is coming back to you. Reward is on one side, your reward is in the year after, in this world as well. There is so much profit. Wherever there is profit, every intellectual person invests in that place. So here there is profit, and your profit, so much profit that you're getting sawab and you're getting your money back, then why don't invest in this beautiful cause? Indeed, 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 it is one of the, it is the best place to invest your money in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon whatever we have learned, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to really take some lessons from these beautiful personalities and the beautiful words of wisdom from Qibla Mufti Sahib. Ameen bijahin Nabiyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, we have now reached the end and the conclusion of today's beautiful episode. And I'm sure many of us learned many things today. Many of us made good intentions today. Many of us enjoyed today's episode. Alhamdulillah, myself, we all enjoyed the beautiful discussions which took place. We make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to act upon whatever we have learned. We would like to thank our Qibla Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah, for once again blessing us with your auspicious presence. And Mufti Sahib has taken time from his busy schedule. We all know Mufti Sahib is very busy answering questions, busy with very beautiful tafsir of the Holy Quran in the English language. And there's so much, on Mufti Sahib's timetable that it's very difficult to find time and to sit with us and Mufti Sahib can discuss. But Alhamdulillah, he took out this time, and we really, really, really appreciate Qibla Mufti Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, grant him a healthy, long life, so he may continue serving the deen of Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we may continue taking this benefits from this great personality. Ameen. Subhanallah, this brings us to the end of today's episode. And tomorrow, inshallah, same time, same place, we will come back with another exciting and beautiful topic for you, for the listeners, for the viewers. So please make sure tomorrow you join us again, same time, only on Madrin Channel English. Remember, instill the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. If you have this love, you have everything. If you do not have this love, you do not have anything. Think positive, be positive, stay positive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep everyone happy and grant you abundance, abundance of barakah. Ameen. Till we meet again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Madina, Madina, Madina to Karbala. Madina, Madina, Madina to Karbala.